Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Glad you have chosen to be here this morning with us. This morning, I want to present a lesson. It's actually the final lesson in a series that we've been looking at various times on Sunday evenings regarding eight myths or eight mistaken ideas about baptism. We've covered on Sunday nights five of those, and I want to cover the last three this morning. The reason I'm presenting it on the morning instead of the afternoon is, number one, more people are here, and I feel this is an important lesson that we all need to think about. There's some questions that arise from time to time as a child of God that sometimes may be a little challenging for us to answer. And so it's good for us to think about these things. And so this morning, I want to talk about that. And this series is adapted from an article written by our brother Wayne Jackson in the Christian Courier that he wrote a few years ago now. And today, I want to cover those last three that he mentions. The three today that mistaken ideas that sometimes the world has about baptism and what the Bible teaches about baptism. Number one, some say or get the idea that it's just enough to be baptized. Well, is that true? Is that scriptural? The second thing I want to cover this morning is, should we be baptizing individuals in the name of Jesus Christ only? So we're going to look at that. And then finally, I want to cover this idea of some may believe it's not necessary to really understand the purpose of baptism. That's come up, and I don't know how many Bible studies that I've conducted with people in one-on-one situations who maybe were baptized in a previous situation and then are asking, well, should I be baptized again? Well, should we? And so I want to look at that this morning and cover this. The first, of course, is it just enough to be baptized? Is that the goal of the church? Is that the goal of Scripture, more importantly? Our goal should be what Scripture says, right? And so, is it just enough to be baptized? Some accuse us in the church at times of uplifting baptism beyond what it should be, about making it more important than it should be, about, claiming that's all we ever talk about in the church is baptism. Well, there's some things I want us to consider this morning. Number one, we do not and should not teach baptism only. Okay, now sometimes we've talked about faith only, and some believe faith only, and we've looked and studied the book of James and other places where that's not the case. Well, it's not baptism only either, all right? And I want to think about this morning and look at some other things that the Bible calls for, and this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but just I want us to think about in regards to salvation, there's a lot more involved than just baptism. When you go to Scripture, you look at Hebrews chapter 6 or chapter 11 and verse 6, there in that great chapter about examples of faith. And there in verse 6, after talking about Enoch and him being taken up, the Bible records, but without faith, and this is in regard to all these examples of faith, and specifically Enoch, what he's just talked about, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who? God. For he who comes to God, and that's what we're seeking to do, right? To come to God. That's what we're seeking to do in evangelism, is to bring someone to God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, can we safely assume there that faith is important? And it is an important part of being saved. It's an important part of doing what God's asked us to do. Well, we read the text in Mark 16, 15 and 16. You go there again in giving the Great Commission to the disciples. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now notice verse 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But what? He who does not believe shall be condemned. Belief's an important part of becoming a child of God. Belief in God, closely related to faith, is an important part of pleasing God. Belief's important. Well, what about obedience? What does that belief lead me to? In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus himself says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, if you love me, keep my commandments. The opposite of that is true, isn't it? If I don't keep his commandments, I don't really love Jesus. What's he saying? Obedience is necessary. I must be willing to do what I've been called to do. Notice a chapter later in John 15 and verse 14. You are my friends if, what? You do whatever I command you. So to be a friend of Jesus, I must do whatever's asked of me. It's obedience. The opposite of that is true as well. If I don't do whatever's commanded of me, then I'm not really a friend of Jesus. And I'm not a friend of the church. Obedience is necessary to be pleasing to God. Notice this as well, repentance. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going through these quickly. I won't post them up here, so if you need to go back and look at them, write them down, or you can check it out on the website. I'll have them up tomorrow, I promise, PowerPoint. But Acts chapter 2, Peter and the other disciples have just preached that gospel sermon, and 3,000 people are ready to respond. And in verse 37, they cry out, men and brethren, what must we do? When we think about what must we do, implied a necessary function, right? What shall we do? Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's necessary there? Baptism's necessary. But not just baptism. What else is necessary for salvation? Peter says repentance is necessary. Now, what if I'm baptized and I never really repent? Was I saved? Did I do what was required? No. Repentance is a part of that. You look also in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. Paul makes this declarative statement. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Does that include you and me? The word all there implies everybody, right? All men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained and has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. God commands all men everywhere to repentance. If I'm a thief and I hear the gospel and I want to obey, is it enough to believe? Is it enough to obey? Is it enough to be baptized? Unless that includes repentance, that's not enough. And it's not truly obeying, is it? Repentance is necessary. You also notice something else that Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Confessing the name Jesus is a necessary thing in order to be saved. It's a necessary thing in order to please God. If I refuse to confess Jesus in my life, if I deny him before men, if I'm unwilling to claim my faith in him, then I am not going to be pleasing to God. See, confession is important to my salvation. And then finally, in this short list, you notice what Jesus says in John 13. John 13, beginning at verse 34, he says to his disciples, "And a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." I have to love the brethren. I don't understand this idea that some have that I can become a Christian, I can go live out there by myself, and I can still be pleasing to God. That's not what the text teaches. I have to love the brethren. What if I do everything else and I don't love the church? If I'm not involved in the church? If I ignore the church? Am I pleasing to God? That's not loving the brethren. You love as I have loved you. They don't like me down there. I don't like them. You love the church as I have loved them. Did Jesus love Judas? He certainly did. Did Judas always show love to Christ? Go back and read it. Sometimes I've got to love some people who are harder to love. But it's no less true of me. I got to love them anyway. I got to love the church. I cannot do it on my own. A lot of things God asks of us. It's not just baptism. And I want to ask this question. I want you to think about it before you answer. Is it baptism that saves us? Is that the process? Is it baptism that saves us? It isn't. It isn't baptism that saves us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. We're not the church of baptism. We are the church of God. We're the church of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus saves us. Baptism is our response to His love. It's our response of obedience. Nothing special about the water. Nothing special about the baptistry. You should have been at our meeting yesterday. It's not the baptistry that saves you. It's not the water in the baptistry. It's not the one doing your baptism. It's Jesus Christ. Is it necessary that I'm baptized? Absolutely. In order to obey the gospel, one of the things that's required, one of the things that God asked me to do is to be baptized. He also asked me to do all those other things and some others. It is there. In obeying the gospel, that we contact the blood of Jesus Christ so that He washes our sins away. Not the baptism itself, but it is Christ's blood that washes away our sins. So is it enough just to be baptized? No. Is it important that I am? Yeah, that's part of the process that God has asked us to do. Number two, should we be baptizing individuals in the name of Jesus Christ only? Now, this is a topic I hadn't heard a whole lot about until recently. I got sent something in the mail a little while ago. Somebody developed a whole study about why we should be baptizing people only in the name of Jesus. And my first real exposure to that idea or that thought. And then I was reading this article and that came up again. What does the text teach about the process of baptism? What is it supposed to look like? I want to look at a couple of different instances here. Go back to Acts chapter 2, and there's Peter, and he's there, and they've asked what they need to do. And Peter's response in verse 38 is, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, when you look at that text, is Peter teaching that it is only in the name of Jesus Christ that one is to be baptized? This is where our Sunday morning class really comes in good here. We need to understand the context here. Now, can we imply, or are we assuming from the text? I want to look at a couple other things. So some people will go to that text and they'll say, see, you're only supposed to be baptizing people in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they'll go to Colossians 3:17. And there, Paul writes to Colossians, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So they'll look at that text and say, see, you do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. You hear those two scriptures, maybe you come away with that impression that that's what should be done. But then you have to think about what Jesus himself said in Matthew 28:19. In giving the Great Commission, he said, go, Matthew 28:19, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now that's, what does God really want from us? That seems contradicting itself, doesn't it? If I read it with that idea that it's trying to tell us the actual process of baptism, the truth is the Bible's not doing either of those things. It's a misunderstanding about what that phrase "in the name of" means. He's not talking about what I say at a baptism. He's talking about the idea of authority. If I go back to Colossians 3:17, that's what that text is all about. What I do in my life as a Christian, I do by the authority, by the instruction of Jesus Christ. Peter is telling those who are baptized, they're being baptized into Christ by his authority. Romans 6:1-4. Here in Matthew 28:19, again, it's the idea of authority. The Bible never lays out the actual process of a baptism. It gives us descriptions of them, but it never identifies, this is the exact way you have to do it. It just doesn't give us specific instructions about it. So could I say in the name of Jesus Christ? If you want to. Could you say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? If you want to. It's all about the authority for why we're being baptized, where we're being instructed to do it. People need to go back and understand the contextual meaning. Because if I'm going to say, well, that's what Peter said, Peter's contradicting what Jesus just said in Matthew 28:19. Reality is, neither of those scriptures are telling us this is the process. They're saying this is the authority by which we do what we do. And then finally, is it really necessary? I saved this one for last because I think it's something we need to think about in our Bible studies, and maybe even in our own personal lives. We all come from different places. I grew up going to a Pentecostal church and then a Baptist church. And their teaching on salvation is very different than what the church teaches, what the scriptures teach. And there's some individuals who are baptized into different groups. Well, is it really necessary to understand the purpose of my baptism? Maybe I was baptized at a young age, maybe a little older, and maybe I did it for all kinds of various reasons. Was it important that I really understood why? I want to look at a text in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, the text reads, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ.'" And notice verse 5. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now you got a group of believers here, and the text actually calls them disciples. Okay, they didn't just hear about the church, and what we're not led to really understand is the depth of their understanding. Now, I can kind of surmise a little bit about their understanding because they weren't taught the full truth, were they? Their understandings was not quite as clear as it should be. Now, were they baptized? Yeah, they had been baptized. They had done what was called of them by John. But what was the response to their baptism? Well, did they understand what they were doing? At the time, maybe so. But what are they called to do? To be baptized. Now, I've heard some people say, "I'm going to be baptized again." Well, that's not really true. They were baptized for the first time in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Understanding what baptism is absolutely important and why we're doing it. We notice in Acts chapter 8, another example of a believer, the Ethiopian eunuch. He is met on the road in his chariot by Philip. Philip joins him in the chariot. Verse 35 tells us that he taught him Jesus. And as they're coming down the road, they see some water, and the eunuch says, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And I've asked this question before, and some of y'all already know it, but did anything hinder him? There was a hindrance there, a possible hindrance for him. Because what does Philip say? He says, "If," that's conditional. That word "if" is conditional. "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Now, what if he didn't believe? What if he didn't understand? Well, then he wouldn't be ready to be baptized, would he? It was conditional. He needed to understand enough to believe in Jesus Christ. He needed to believe. Belief is an understanding. It is the first step of faith. And then, of course, as we continue reading, "And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and he baptized him. He baptized him because he understood and because he believed. Go back to Mark 16:16. If you believe and are baptized, you shall be saved. But if you do not believe, you shall be condemned. Believe implies understanding. I must understand what I'm doing. It is important to know why you're being baptized. We have an example in Acts 19 of a group of believers who had gotten wet but had never truly been baptized into Jesus Christ. I need to understand what I'm doing. In Romans 6, beginning at verse 1, Paul reminds those brethren of their baptism. And in reminding them of their baptism, he reminds them of the purpose of their baptism. What if I had been baptized outside of the understanding of Jesus Christ? What if I'd been baptized not really knowing what I was doing? And over time, I've gained a more clear understanding of that. What's the natural response? I never was really baptized into Christ, and so I must do that. Baptism is an important part of obedience. It isn't baptism that saves us, it is Jesus Christ. But it is baptism, that act of obedience, which puts us into Christ. It is the gateway that allows us to contact His saving blood. This morning, as you consider your life, your spiritual well-being, have you been immersed into Christ? Have you been baptized into Him so that His blood can wash your sins away? I encourage you this morning to obey the gospel, to obey the good news of Jesus Christ. If we respond in faith, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do you have sins that need to be forgiven, sins that need to be washed away? In just a moment, we're going to sing a song and give you the opportunity to obey, to do what God has called you to do. Maybe you're a child of God who has wandered away from the truth, and this morning you need to come home. We invite you to do that as well. Maybe you're someone who has been a disciple of Christ, but you've never really been baptized into Christ. Maybe you had a misunderstanding about that. Maybe this morning your understanding's been clarified, and you want to know that you're saved. If you have a need, any need at all, please come as together we stand and sing.